I'm happy to talk about software first.
All right, me too, because I've been working with Toon Boom, and that's still kind of new to me.
Still get, well, you've been using it for like the better half of a year now.
Yeah, it's been a year. It's been a year. But
oh, it's been a full year.
It's been a full year, yes, because I had to renew the subscription. It's definitely been a year.
All right, so that should be enough time to, you know, to get your teeth into it. Most people are able to pick it up in a couple of days or so. But is it more like the specifics?
Okay, so it's more like I rigged a character. I've rigged characters before in Toon Boom, but this is on a completely different scale.
Cool. Tell me more.
Well, it'd be fun if I could show you. But
can you show me?
I could probably stream. Yeah, let's see if I can do it. Hold on.
I know you've been trying to find time to work on this for a while, like a couple months even.
Yeah. Stuff keeps coming up. I keep getting hired for things.
I'm just curious to see what type of rigging method you used.
I've been doing what you suggested in one of your tutorials, which is having it side by side.
It's really handy, isn't it?
It's great.
I like it a lot. Especially when working with a rig, because there's so often where you need to tweak just one piece, and you can select it with the transform tool and it will pop up.
So the past 3 days, I haven't really drawn anything, and it's at the point where you think, dang, if I had just drawn this frame by frame, it would be done by now.
Yeah, I have that thought every single time I do one of these, and it's not until you get enough quantity of animation out. Once you've done like 30 minutes in like a week or so, you'll be like, okay, this is worth.
Yeah, because this rig is designed specifically to do one thing, which is when I drop stuff from the library onto the rig, it doesn't matter which way it's facing, it does the thing. So
cool.
It took a lot of trial and error and experimenting to figure out what's the best way to put this together to make it do that. Like at one point...
Wait, so have you developed a new method? Because I guess first things first is I've only ever done rigging with the node system, but you don't have the node network. You got to do it using advanced.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
This makes it interesting because, yeah, I don't have node view, so I'm a little bit limited in what I can do, and it has to all be done manually. So I don't have any auto patch, for example.
Setting up a series of, yeah, layers and masking would have been, whew.
Yeah, and so for people who are listening, the auto patch is where if I, say, rotate this arm here, it will automatically clean up the lines where it would normally be overshot and stuff. That takes a series of masks to do that, and I actually think... Onion Skin talks about it on his channel. I actually think you could do it manually, but it would be such a pain in the butt to set up that I don't even bother with it. I just draw everything by hand.
So walk us through this library system you've got going up in the corner there.
Well, first of all, down here we have the actual rig, which is pretty standard. It's just the three perspectives, and then there's a global peg on the top that tells it which way it's facing. So if I turn that off, she actually doesn't turn anymore. She just goes back and forth. I had to come up with these, what I call them, global pegs, and I had to put them on a bunch of stuff because otherwise, when you try to create an animation in the library and just drop it in as an action template, you need to not overwrite your global values that say, here's where the leg goes and here's how big it is and here's how much skew it has.
Is that difficult to avoid when you're mid movement?
Yeah, that's why each item, so important items like the legs, they have, so you have your leg piece, actually the four legs, not a great example because it's got multiple pieces inside of it, but yeah, sure, we'll just go with that. So you have your leg, your art layer, which has nothing on it. The keyframes don't matter. There's no position data there. And then you have this peg that is the position coordinate. So this is what you would animate, okay?
That's right.
But you also have pegged to that stuff is this global peg that says, okay, is it flipped? Is it scaled differently? And where is it positioned on the character?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty normal.
That is not something I've ever had to deal with before. And it took me a while to be like, oh, if I don't do that when I try to drop animations in, they get broken.
Oh, really? You never had to do that with symbol hierarchy in Flash?
Symbol hierarchy works differently, though, because... You can't make an animation. I guess you can make an animation and drop an item on it, but it's just not the same.
Yeah, so I want to see how this dragging something out of the library and onto the thing works.
Okay, let's do it. Say we have, let's just expand this so I have some room to work.
That's right. This is still like a bit of a prototype, isn't it?
Yeah. It's rigged up for the most part. I had to add a bunch of more stuff in and redo the whole library this morning. But after I realized the whole global peg thing. So, for example, we have this bounce animation. And I just drag it in here.
Ah, right. Yeah,
I got to turn on the special button. So now she does this little bounce thing. And never mind that it gets broken because of the not enough frames. But it doesn't matter which way she's facing. So if I have that, I'll just put it in back in here. If I have that, maybe slide it over one. And I say, okay, but I want it to do it in this perspective. Then I should just be able to paste it in there. Oh, I gotta have everything selected. It's a bit of a game playing with the, are you copying the drawings or only the keyframes? What are you doing? And now, see, same animation, but all I did was copy and paste a post. So you do it for the front view too. You just paste it in there. And she does it. And it's so mind-blowing to me. Like,
That's awesome that it works.
So if she can face that way. And it's the same thing. So, and then I have just like a normal bounce, little bounce one.
Is the bounce tailor-made for each angle?
No, it's not.
So how is, you know, like the hair not just flying far off on the front facing or something like that?
It does a little bit. The front facing view is the one that has the most leeway with the hair. So you can see it does a little bit where it's broken there. I don't care. I don't care, right?
How did you do that?
It's such a short little motion that I think for, you know, an independently produced thing, it's not even noticeable. See how quickly it moves?
Mm.
So nobody...
No, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that the movement is independent of the drawings like that, that's really, really clever.
I was wondering if you would think it was clever, because I was kind of looking through the onion rig... And
I've not seen it done like that.
Set up. That's the thing. That's what makes it so interesting, because I don't know what I'm doing, so I have to come up with methods, which means they usually end up being different.
Yeah, that's why it's fun. There's so much room for pioneering. There are standardized methods that you'll see a lot of places adopt, and you can understand the reasons for it. But, you know, sometimes that can be a shame, because a lot of these innovations go away. Like, I've shown you my onion one. I haven't done it publicly yet, but maybe we'll do that another time. How that's got like a remote control rig thing to it.
And you'd have to show me on your end, because when I open it here, it gets all broken because I don't have the Toon Boom Premium. But yeah, I'd be curious to see how your thoughts on how you set that up. But this is set up so that she has these master poses, and any animation I make on one pose can be just pasted onto any direction and it will work.
But how? Is it because all the movement's taking place on a peg above and that gets preserved when you swap the drawings out?
Yeah, so because there's the global peg that says where everything is, the only animation that's happening is down here on just a position thing that you can overwrite. So
on the regular peg.
Yeah, and then the drawings are switched out. So for like the front view, those legs are different, but that's just switching a drawing, and when you copy and paste that stuff, it sticks. The only thing you're copying and pasting is animation data, just position data. That's why you can get away with it.
So how would this work for any movement besides literally that? Like, if there's anything a little bit more expression, like an arm actually reaching out.
Oh, okay, so let's do that.
Would that still work? Anything more extreme?
So the only difference with those is because it doesn't quite look right. I mean, you could definitely get away with some of the arm motions working on any view. But all of the legs, you can even see it here if I pull it up. She's got all these different mouths and eyes and things. All of the eyes are the same symbol, so I have all these eye expressions that I could just drag and drop, and it doesn't matter where she's facing. It's so great.
Cool.
So the arm movements have frame-by-frame stuff in them. Let's just go over to the leg. And again, because there's global information on where the leg is positioned, I don't have to animate the left one and the right one separately. If I do an animation on the left leg, I could just copy and paste that into the right leg and it'll do the same thing in the opposite direction. So,
is there a reason why there's global pegs for each individual part as opposed to just one global peg for the entire character?
Yes, because these legs get reused, and so when they change scale, so example, for example, she's facing the side. This leg is smaller. So right. If it were just a peg on the whole character, it wouldn't... You wouldn't be able to reuse that piece of art and change it in that way.
They're the ones that aren't affected by the library animation.
Right. So
how do you do that? Like, when you bring in a library piece, how does it interact with some layers but ignores others?
It all has to do with where you put your keyframes.
Okay, so because the global keyframe information happens before the movement itself, you get away with it.
Yeah, so basically you go into your template, you edit the template, and you remove the keyframes that aren't the global data, and then when you drop it in, it just is using whatever frame information is already there.
That's great. I'm very impressed. I was about to suggest a symbol-based method, because that allows you to...
In tune from symbols, in tune from... I know that they're there, but I have been avoiding them.
They're there, and a time where they become useful is for grouping timelines in the same way that you would group artwork. So if you do have a lot of sort of like pre-rendered animations, like say a bounce or an arm wave or something like that, you can pack all of those up into a single layer of time. And then, you know, drag that out of the library, but also mess with its exposure very easily. Like if you expand that one layer or copy and paste individual frames, it will take all the information from that frame. I hope that makes sense. However, it is kept sort of separate. So what you're doing here wouldn't work. If you were to pull something out of a library, it wouldn't maintain those global pegs. It will be, you know, you'd need to have one symbol per angle.
That is how Flash would work. So... that's kind of how Flash works. You can swap the symbol in and out onto the animation, but it's just a little bit different. There's no way in the world I could program, I want her to do this little bounce thing, and then just drop it onto the puppet no matter which way it's facing. You have to actually swap out the symbols, which means you would need to
You wouldn't need to swap out the symbols. The symbols are a lot more flexible in Toon Boom than they are in Flash. You can sort of...
Oh, no. I was talking about Flash at that time. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's sort of irritating that they share the name.
They're not
symbols were put. They're not very similar. Symbols were put into Toon Boom to scratch that itch for Flash users. But in reality, pegs perform that role more often than not. The main differences are, symbols sort of contain everything. Flash symbols, they contain everything, but the primary advantage to them there is that they are auto-loopable. You know, they become these containers that you can sort of just, you know, have a spinning wheel and it'll just go forever. Toon Boom symbol doesn't do that. You still have to have an eye on its looping.
And that's the point. Oh, that's the point of the symbols. That's the one thing that drives me nuts about Toon Boom is it stinks at looping. It's so bad.
Yeah, that feels like it should be the point of it. And it's sad that it's not there. But when you come to understand... the advantage that it does have that the Flash ones don't, they come into a world of their own because of being able to cut and carve and swap them around and sort of rejig them in all sorts of different ways. You can't do that with Flash symbols, and I find them to be way more flexible for, parts of this one, once the movement's finished and the whole puppet sort of just breaks immediately afterwards, this system here works. But you also have to be a little bit cautious with it because there's so many layers and so many parts that are active and at play. If you're not careful, something could break and then you're spending 45 minutes trying to figure out what went wrong and trying to repair it.
Oh, yeah. I already did all of that.
exactly.
So it's also made for straight ahead animation. That's the other thing. So I have this 6-minute long audio file that I drop in here and I just go. So it's not like I need to go back into the middle of the scene and change some stuff. I can't even imagine what would happen if I did that. I haven't really worked with the rig that much yet, so I just put it together, you know.
That's a good point. If there's not much room for being able to modify things later, it's more like stop motion. You just gotta get it right linearly.
Yeah, Yeah.
So the Toon Boom symbols, they are designed to be able to edit them later. There is zero risk of accidentally breaking a hierarchy by going around and shuffling frames around. Because it's each frame is sort of like it's saved all of the data down on frame 7 through hundreds and hundreds of layers. And if you swap the frames around, it's just showing you frames 8 and then frame 7 on your timeline that is now 7 and 8. I feel like I need to demonstrate this visually. I'm not making any sense.
No, I'm going to have to, I'd have to work with symbols. I don't use them here because it's like not the point of Toon Boom, I guess. I don't know. I avoided them. Coming off of Flash, I avoided them.
They're super rare that they are needed in this program. But there's been, you know, a handful of times where when they have been useful, I'm glad they're there. I feel like that's a bit of a tangent, though, because we're meant to be talking about your rig. I wouldn't recommend them for this rig.
No, I'm not rebuilding this rig. I mean, I've already rebuilt it three times or so, because putting the pieces together was easy. Drawing it, I got it, so it actually makes sense in 3D perspective, which it didn't before. The old rig.
Oh,
it,
cool.
There's so much about it that changes depending on which way it's facing on the old one.
Yeah, this new design's really nice.
I just haven't actually animated the episode yet because I've been trying to make sure that the rig actually works the way I want it to, so I don't have to rebuild it later. But by the time I've used it a bunch, I'll know what I want to do different or how to improve on the thing.
Well, you'll be able to add components as you go. And
yeah, the components thing is fine, but the thing about the way the library works is that it, you know, you can't add new layers in here or it just breaks the whole thing.
Yeah, it's going to remember the order of the layers.
That's what sucks about it is it's a done game. There's no new layers added in unless you're done animating with the library and then you can, you know, break it.
Unless all of the animations existed one after another in one project file. So then that sort of acted as a template for every piece that would become the library. So if you were to add new layers and move things around fundamentally there, it's not impossible to just re-export everything to the library again.
Oh, yeah, that's what I have set up here. So if we go into, let's just open up the file. If we go into Season 2 Development, Puppet. Okay, so what I did is I created a couple different versions just for working with creating the base animation and stuff. So I have, for example, the puppet has all of the leg lifts in it. And the problem is, again, once you've decided the order of your layers and how many there are, it's stuck like that once you start exporting stuff to the library because dragging and dropping action templates only works when the layers are... when the layer data matches up with what's in the... She's got ear flips and stuff. You can see. And the head rotates on the body. That's something. That's new.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, boy.
There's so much more fluidity to it. Like, this character's properly animated. It's not a series of stills anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably going to do... It'll be a lot of stop motion anyway. But I just wanted stuff like... when she picks her leg up, I want it to be smooth. And so I'm going to do this proper... this time.
This is a good teaser for season 3.
Maybe we should put this up. No, this episode's not going to be ready for a while. But yeah, I'm wondering by the time this comes out, people will definitely have already seen this in action. So it's kind of like a behind the scenes look.
So a lot of the other parts, like the tail there, that's frame by frame still?
Yep, that's frame by frame. Just reusing a bunch of frames. The tail is interesting because it actually has two layers in it. One to not clutter up the normal positions, so the wags have their own layer because I didn't want all of those drawings clogging up my drawing substitution window here. It's just for still tails.
So wait, you've got more than one layer of tail, is that what you said?
Yeah. So one of them is for the still image poses, like she's sitting there and she does a little bounce thing. The other one has all of those detailed...
So you switch from one layer to the other depending on the scenario?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think if you had premium, you'd probably use a deformer or something like for this particular thing, but I don't have access to that. And it looks fine frame by frame anyway.
Yeah, for something floofy like a tail, looks good. The other thing I was going to ask is I'm noticing a lot of keyframes on drawing layers themselves. Is there a reason for that?
The only reason for that down here in the tail is to try and avoid clutter. I mentioned at the beginning of our session here that originally I... once I realized, oh, I need to have this global data so I can plug and play sort of thing. What if I put that down on the drawing layer? So I ran an experiment yesterday where I started putting the global, like, is it flipped? How? What's the scale of it? What's the skew of it for the permanent?
Yeah.
Data. I tried putting that down on the drawing layer because normally I don't put anything down there now. I use only pegs. Except what happens is when you do that, as soon as the thing isn't scale 1-to-1, everything breaks. So, nope, the global data had to go up into its own peg, which creates more layers to have to work with, but avoids all the problems of things breaking.
So when you select one of those parts with the transform tool, is it selecting the peg or the drawing? How have you got it set up?
I have it set up to select the peg, which is based on, instead of just the pivot here, each item is a drawing pivot, because
yep.
How often things change location on that layer.
That's good. So those drawing layer keyframes, they can't be interacted with them? They're sort of locked off?
Yeah, unless I unlock them, but they are. Yeah, they're locked off, which makes it a little bit of a pain in the butt sometimes, but I don't really need to be down there.
That seems like a good method then.
Yeah, I don't need to be down there because I've got the peg for doing all that stuff.
Looking at drawing view, looks like you got sublayers going as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Nice. What was your method for that?
For what? Drawing the pieces?
Yeah. So getting your fills down onto the other sublayer. Did you draw it with the with the live pudding thingy, or did you draw it on the line art layer, then press the operation to transfer the data, or did you cut and paste the fills to the one below?
How I always do it is I take the art and then I press the magic button. Whoops, wrong thing. I press the magic create color. The reason I do it that way, and I hired someone to do some coloring for me in Toon Boom a little bit ago, a friend of mine, and he said, oh, but there's no color art. So I went through for him and made it all, because what happens is this part, the drawing process, can be really messy for me. So if I'm just drawing with the create color, when I go down to that layer, it's full of garbage anyway from previous sketches and stuff. It doesn't work well for me.
The method that you're using that's the standard way that I'd recommend. Doing it live is risky for the reasons you just said.
It creates a big
all
mess.
All this invisible stuff just ends up there and you don't realize.
Yeah. And not for this rig so much, but when I'm doing frame-by-frame animations, there's the really handy button, apply to all frames. So you grab as much as you can, hit apply to all frames, turn that on, and then just press the create color art, and then you get it all done at once. Oh, look, with the new version, it even tells you you're doing that.
Yeah, there's parts of that tool that have been greatly expanded upon, and I need to get hold of the old ones again to get a real close look at what is different, because there's parts of it that feel like they've always been there, but a part of it's like, nah, I think that's new, isn't it? I think that's new. But I can't be certain until I can compare them side by side. The whole way that you interact with multiple layers and multiple frames at once has been reimagined.
Yeah, because I haven't used the shift and trace at all yet. And that's completely new. That didn't even exist. I have tried using the...
It's existed, but now it's a lot more accessible.
I have tried using the Animate Onion Skin Range. I don't think it's working the way I thought it would. Anyway.
Remember, Black Arrow is moving your drawing around on the page, and the Transform tool is moving the page itself around.
Yes. Yeah. It took me a while to figure that out.
it's probably the most difficult thing to wrap your head around after being a Flash user. Like,
yeah.
Because everything is a keyframe. Like, everything. Every time you make a new keyframe, that's duplicated all of the vector art and its positional data as well.
I just remember moving something and then I couldn't get it to move back, or it would move it and it would still be there. And you wouldn't expect it to do that because, I used the selection tool to move it. So why isn't it animating it going over there?
Yeah.
Or the other thing that was a big deal was realizing that drawings are separate. Drawings are basically symbols every single time.
Yes. Yes, they are.
You would make a drawing and then try to, and then you don't even realize, but it's still there. Even if you make this drawing and then press delete, it still exists in the thing, in the slider.
I'm thrilled that this drawing substitutions window has been added because it finally...
Oh my gosh.
It explains that that is a thing very clearly. Whereas before, you had to use your imagination a little bit to know what was going on.
Before, and this is the one thing that I was wondering if I was going to end up rigging this in Toon Boom or not, because with this window is so useful in Flash, and Flash had it, and Toon Boom didn't at the time. Anyway, so what I used to have to do was kind of scroll around up here in the library window to find or type in the name of whatever it was I was trying to do.
For the longest time in Flash, though, it was a plugin.
Yes.
It was made a feature in recent years, but it had also been a plugin for Toon Boom as well.
But see,
plugins just aren't, they're not as commonly used, whereas the Flash community plugins are, they're essential. Like everybody has like VCam and Keyframe Caddy.
I was wondering about that. Because the one thing that would be really nice is if there were a plugin to click something in the library and then press a keyboard shortcut to have it insert at the point that I have selected here in the timeline. Instead, I have to drag and drop.
That's probably doable. All the plugins are done in JavaScript, so it's surprisingly flexible.
Yeah, it's probably been done, but again, Toon Boom doesn't have a big plugin community, so...
That's the main thing. It's the community thing. Like the camera in Flash, like the VCam, which existed for, I think, over 10 years before Flash actually got a camera.
I know, it took them that long. And basically, when Flash updated to Adobe Animate, they added in all of the features that that should have been there. But I guess maybe they didn't bother because people had created them and everybody knew about VCam. Everybody knew about... I keep calling it Frame Picker, but that's what it's called now. The Keyframe Caddy. So they figured maybe we don't need to do this because our users will do it for us.
Well, it seems like even then, VCam is still a bit more viable because the actual camera feature is only compatible with the modern tween system, which hardly anyone uses. Everyone uses classic tweens, which is how the VCam works because it's just a rectangle that you render through.
Oh, no, the camera works with both types of tweens.
Oh, okay. Maybe it changed since last time I looked at it. It's been a while.
It's updated quite a bit over the past 2 years since they introduced it. So, yeah.
Nice. It seems like it's been going in the right direction, which is a good thing.
Yeah. They added a peg system, too.
Wow, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So everyone's starting to fill in the gaps.
It's just funny because the past two updates, the Toon Boom update that just came out and the Flash update... They're like trying to one-up each other or incorporate the features from the opposite product.
They're filling in the gaps on each other, yeah. I noticed that here as well with things like the drawing substitutions, but also the onion skin brackets having their colors on them, just indicating which way is which. Is there anything else about this rig that you wanted to show off or ask about?
No, I just wanted to see what you thought.
I'll be looking forward to seeing how it fares in the trenches.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about too. All right.
Cool. All right. Maybe I'll bring up my one, the onion rig, and we'll talk about that in the next one.
Yeah, well, we filled our time talking about Toon Boom rig.
All right. See you next time, everyone.
Bye.